For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Attentive ears tonight, hearts that are open to receiving from God, because you don't want to just think that it's a man speaking, but that the Spirit of God is using me as I preach the word, and that's the reality. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for the increase that you give in our lives and in the church. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be sowers, to be workers for you, and to be reapers. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts and show us your will. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're looking tonight at cheerful sowers and reapers with God. Cheerful sowers and reapers with God. Let's have a look first of all at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 6 to 9 of 1 Corinthians. One of the very important things that we do understand is that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So whilst we're on the earth, we are to be people that are doing good works, the works of righteousness. And of course, that's not talking about working for our salvation. It is talking about we are saved, and therefore we are to do things that are in line with the will of God, and those are good works. And you can see some of those works in this section of scripture that we're going through now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll start from verse 6 and we'll go to verse 9. And it says, I have planted, that's Paul the Apostle talking here, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. God is doing a work on the earth. He is building, he is planting, and he is using people to do this. He is also reaping. He's using people to do this. So notice that there is a planting to be done, and we can see that in verse 6. I have planted. He was planting various churches, but he was also planting resources in key places. And obviously the word of God had to be planted in people's hearts through the preaching of the gospel. And we know that through the sower of the word. And the sowing of the word of God is so very important, and it must be through the glorious gospel being preached. Apollos watered talks about a work that's done whereby people are cleansed and washed by the water of the word of God, whereby they are instructed and built up in the ways of God and have their understanding of God more and more increased in the Lord. And that's where we get, but God gave the increase. So if God didn't give the increase, if there's nothing of God in a work, then it is going to amount to nothing. So we must have the will of God, we must have the mind of God to know about planting, to know about watering, to know about reaping. What we see here is that God giveth the increase, and we are to look to him for that increase. He doesn't say ignore the increase. He says that he is the one that gives the increase. He is the one that we are to look to. And we are to understand in verse 9 that we are labourers together with God. What a privilege that is, to be a labourer together with God. A labourer together with God in the sowing, in the watering, in the reaping. And as he says there, ye are God's husbandry, talking about garden, ye are God's building, and obviously the building of the temple of God. So we are labourers together with God. We are meant to be people that are doing something on the earth. Now, if you sow nothing, just like a farmer, if he sows nothing, he's not going to get a crop, is he? He's not going to get something that he can reap. There's going to be no harvest there. But what happens if he sows and that there's no watering? There's no fertilising of the ground. There's no keeping of the ground so that weeds are kept out. You can have a failed harvest from that. If you don't keep pests away, for example, and things like that, you can have a failed harvest. So there are things that need to be done. And we know that Christ is building his church and he is doing things on the earth, but he's using people to get those things done. He's used Paul here, he's used Apollos, he's used many others throughout history, and he's using people today. He's using you and me to get things done. Let's have a look at Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Now the thing is that as sowers and reapers with God, we must be people that are open and have a heart that is open to the things of God, and not be people that are wanting to not do things and almost have to be forced to get people to do something. That type of thing is not a good thing at all. But a person that has willingness in their heart, a person that is willing to do what God wants them to do, that's going to be something that is going to delight the Lord. It's going to please the Lord. Because a willingness talks about trusting and having faith. A willingness talks about being zealous. If you look at Galatians 6, we'll start from verse 7 and go to verse 10. Galatians 6 says, verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, does God want people to sow things? Yes, he does. Does God want people to reap? Yes, he does as well. It's no use sowing and then not reaping. And I think that's where a lot of people, they're not sure. They're not sure. That, and they might even say, well, I've done a lot of sowing, but I haven't done much reaping. Well, we've got to see why. Why is that? But let's have a look here. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now this might be a key. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Should we be putting into our mouths, I'm a sower and I'm also a reaper and I'm not going to faint, I shall reap. I shall reap in due season. I said that to someone once and she mocked me about it. I said, you know, we're not sight oriented here, but we can't be weary in well doing. We can't say, well, it doesn't seem to be working. If you know the will of God, and you've been sowing and doing what God wants you to do, let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's keep on doing it. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now verse 10, another key here. As we have therefore opportunity. Where does that opportunity come from? Well, God will open up opportunities for you to be able to sow. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Notice it says especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we should take special notice of doing good, of sowing those good things into the household of faith. But God will give you opportunity. He'll open those opportunities. It's up to us to take the opportunities to sow, and there'll also be opportunities in the future for us to reap. So call yourself a reaper. Say, I am a reaper. I'm a reaper. I'm a person who is going to reap in due season, because I faint not. I'm a reaper, I'm a sower, and I'm a reaper. If you've been sowing, and you may have been sowing all types of things, good things. You don't want to be sowing bad things, but sow good things. You could be sowing financially into the work of God. You could be sowing love towards people. Sow diligence into your own life. You know? People get to a particular stage in their life and they're wondering, why isn't it working? Why are things not working? Sometimes they need to go back and have a look at what have they been sowing, perhaps even years back, and then start to change things so that they're sowing for their own future and do the right thing so that you can be used of the Lord and increase in the Lord. Have a look at Psalm 13 verses 5 and 6. Psalm 13 verses 5 and 6. Now we must be people that are thankful. We must be people that give glory to God, praise God for what He has done and what He is doing in our lives. God talks a lot about thankfulness. He talks about how our lips should give thanksgiving to Him. Psalm 13, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in Thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. We must have a heart that is rejoicing in God's salvation, rejoicing in His provision. And we sing unto the Lord. That comes out of joy, doesn't it? Comes out of rejoicing. Because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Bountifulness is God's will. He wants you to have bounty in your life. And as we are people that have our hearts rejoicing in Him, He will lead us, He'll show us what we need to do, He'll show us where we need to sow. And as I said before, we're not just talking about financially, although that's a big part of it. We're talking about what good things are you sowing? What good things are you sowing? There are people that the Lord has instructed, and we talk about globally, right across the earth, the Lord has instructed them to sow good things into the church, and they haven't done so. They haven't taken that opportunity to do so, and they've missed the opportunity. And so they've also missed their opportunity to reap. But you know, the Lord will use people. He will use people who are willing in the day of His power. He'll use people that are willing to do what He wants them to do. But we have to be people of rejoicing in God's salvation. No, ho-hum, well, the Christian life, it's not that different from the way of the heathen. No, that's very wrong. It really is very different. It is a holy life. It is a pure life. It is a strong, victorious life in Christ. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The world is in a fallen state. And so when we look to the Lord, we rejoice in Him. He hath dealt bountifully with us. Even the provision of salvation, that's a bountiful dealing of God towards us. And then everything, in fact, all blessing comes out of that in the Christian's life. Glory to God. So here's a question for us to answer. Is God a cheerful giver? Is God a cheerful giver? Well, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know God so loved the world that He gave out of love. Now, was joy attached with that? Was God a cheerful giver? Well, I believe he was, because he's the ultimate example for us. Have a look at Hebrews 12, verse 2. And you can see that Jesus went through that whole sacrifice because of joy. And he's a cheerful giver. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, cheerful, joyous, because they knew that what was to come out of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his redemption work, what was to come out of that was something wonderful, eternal, glory to God. So if you have a look at Hebrews, and we're looking at 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God, our example, is a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Glory to God. Let's have a look at that section of scripture we know so well in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. We'll start from verse 6. Now, if we want results, we have to have the right heart attitude. Rejoice in the salvation of God. Understand that he's already bountifully dealt with us and continually does that for us. Call ourselves sowers, cheerfully sowing into his work and cheerfully reaping, because he has dealt bountifully with us. And so we have an attitude of thanksgiving, don't we? Because we're reaping, and then we can sow more, and as we sow more, there's more reaping. Look, we must be people that have the right understanding and the right perspective about our lives. We are laborers together with God. We do good works for God, and those good works are not going to amount to nothing. Our labour, the Bible says, our labour is not in vain in the Lord. Glory to God. There is a reaping attached to it. But we've got to believe that. We've got to have faith for that. And we should call ourselves reapers in God. Not just sowers, but reapers as well. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look at verses 6 to 11. Starting from verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, this is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And obviously, if a farmer went out and just sowed a few wheat grains into the field, he's not going to be able to expect a huge harvest of wheat, is he? It's not possible. So we need to understand that there is a bountifulness that we should attach to our sowing. Verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, in his spirit, in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So your giving is attached to your heart. You see that? If in your heart you're not joyful or cheerful about giving, that will affect your giving. And so we need to get before the Lord and say, Lord, I declare myself to be a cheerful giver. I will be cheerful in you. Glory to God. God wants a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. This is a wonderful thing. God loves a cheerful giver. Think about that. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves that. And if God loves it, we should be loving it too. You know, we love God because he first loved us. You know? He gave cheerfully, the Lord Jesus Christ. wonderful example that we've seen, and we must purpose in our heart to give not grudgingly or of necessity. So we can purpose and make that decision in our heart not to give grudgingly or of necessity, but cheerfully. Can you see that? And it's, so it comes down to us making that purposing, that decision in our heart. And then there's something that comes out of that. Verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Now, here's a key. What are you using your abundance for? Okay? So the more you get, this is the way God sees it, the more you get, the more He wants you to go into that sowing and reaping for Him. It's not, I'll become a satanic reservoir now and I'll just park that $1 million and never use it. And by the way, right across the earth, there's exactly that. Satanic reservoirs that, you know, the Bible says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Perhaps there's going to be a releasing of all that reservoir. I believe that there is in the future. But notice what we have to be. We have to be cheerful givers. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, and talking about the believers, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants us to abound to every good work. Remember, we're laborers together with God. He wants us to do those good works for Him. We're on earth not to be slothful, but to be doing diligently what He wants us to do. That zealous of good works, that zealousness of good works that we know in 1 Peter, it talks about that, being zealous of good works. That's the type of people that God wants, zealous of good works. And He wants us to have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 9, "As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Remember, we read before, He is the God of increase. God gave the increase. So God can multiply your seed sown as we've given it cheerfully. And so we need to expect that multiplication, expect that increase. It's no use saying, "Oh yes, I've sown seed, but I'm never going to look for the harvest. I'm never going to look for reaping it." That's as bad as the farmer saying, "Well, I'll sow a crop, but I'm not going to go and harvest it. I'll let, you know, just someone else can go and harvest it." That would be a silly scenario. And I think spiritually we need to see, yes, we sow, but also call ourselves reapers. Determine in our heart, we're going to reap and say, "I'm a reaper. I'm a person that has a harvest coming to me. I'm a person that abounds. I have all sufficiency in all things, that I may abound to every good work," so that we're increasing more and more and we can do more and more for the Lord. So imagine. Imagine what can be accomplished in the church if everyone called themselves both sowers and reapers and believed that. Verse 11 says, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Okay? Now we know the scripture says, "Let your light shine, that men may see your good works and give glory to the Father." The good works that we do, abounding to good works, that there's going to be that increase. What's going to happen? Through us thanksgiving to God. It's not about the exaltation of man, it's about thanksgiving to God. Glory to God. Let's have a look at an example in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. I like this example. Example in King Hezekiah's life. It's a type here. You could see it's a type. And if you have your spiritual eyes and ears open, you'll see that it's indeed giving us this understanding of what can be done when the people of God are cheerful in their giving and in their reaping, because you can see here that there is a reaping. So we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And we'll start from verse 1 and we'll go to verse 12. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 1. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities. So what do we find was happening with the people? What were they getting rid of in their lives? They were getting rid of sin and the exaltation of sin. They were getting rid of those images, those high places, those altars to false gods and so on. They were getting rid of this and destroying it out of their lives. Verse 2, and Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So Hezekiah appointed, in other words, he put a structure in place so that there could be things done for the Lord and the service of the Lord. Verse 3, he appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. So what was he doing? As it is written in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord became very valuable in his eyes. As it is written, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this done. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and of the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. So once again, it's pointing to the law of the Lord, the word of God. And he's talking about giving. Okay, so what happened out of this? Okay, you see that the right things were put into place. Got rid of sin. Structure was put into place. There was commandments in line with the word of God given. You see what's happened in this society. Verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine and oil and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. It's interesting, isn't it? Get things right, and the hearts of the people are open to give. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 6, and concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things that were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. So there were heaps of things coming in. Heaps, think of heaps. Big mounds, big heaps. Verse 7, in the third month, They began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. So how many months is that of giving? Giving and giving, heaps and heaps, isn't it? Verse 8, and when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. So see, thanksgiving unto God. Verse 9, then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty. For the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. So notice it says the Lord hath blessed his people. There's been blessing come upon the people. Otherwise they wouldn't have been able to give. And neither would there be blessing for the Levites. And we can see that there was a great store. Verse 11. Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is very, very important. All right. And they prepared them and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler and Shimei his brother was the next. So we see that there was a cheerful giving by the people. There was an opening and a blessing for the people and a blessing for the ministry to go forward and to continue on. And let's have a look at verses 20 and 21. And notice what it says here. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and, what's that word? Prospered. He did it with all his heart and prospered. This is a wonderful chapter, and I encourage you to go back and have a look over it again, and you can see that this was a man, this was a king that was doing work for the Lord, and the Lord prospered him, and it was a heart work. It came out of his heart, and it affected the people of the land. And it affected to such an extent that there was this great increase. Glory to God. So, I'd like to take you through a prayer and confession. Just a quick one. So just follow after me as I say this. In God, I am a sower, and I am a reaper. Father God, please show me where to sow, and when and how to reap. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your revelation through your word. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being labourers together with you. Father, we know that there are eternal consequences to what is done on the earth today in you. And Lord, I pray that your people would rise up to be cheerful, to be willing, and to not just sow, but also reap in abundance. Bless every person here abundantly, Lord. In Jesus' name, show us, continue with us as to an understanding of how to increase in you, that we may be continual sowers, increasing in our sowing and increasing in our giving and increasing in our reaping. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God.